We've been looking at the Lord's Prayer in these last few weeks, and we're continuing through that as a model for how to pray. Because Jesus' disciples said, how shall we pray? And he said, this is how. This is how you do it. And so we've been looking at that model. We've been looking each week at the different components, the different kind of steps that we go through in that prayer to give us a guideline as a model. And I want to give you a quick review where we've been so far. In the first few weeks, the first four components of the Lord's Prayer, they all focus, friends, on God first, as it should be, on God's first. First, we talk about acknowledging as our Father in heaven. We come to Him in this intimate way as a good Father, a good parent who loves us, and we understand that it is such a privilege that we have just to talk to God. Just to come to Him in that way. And so we come to Him as our Father in heaven. And then we talk about the unique place of honor He has when we say, hallowed be your name. When we think of praising Him and the thanksgiving we can give Him surely for who He is. Hallowed is a word that's really close to another word that we've heard, hallelujah, right? Hallowed's part of the word hallelujah. And hallelujah was a word that was made simply for God. It means God is praised. And it was written for God. It shouldn't be used in any other way in our lives except for when we're talking about God. So hallowing God's name is saying hallelujah. God be praised. And we praise Him and thank Him for who He is, focusing on our Father that we don't get distracted by just our wants and needs in the very beginning. And then we pray, your kingdom come as earth as it is in heaven. And so praying for that individually as we're acknowledging His authority over our lives, for His kingdom to be in our lives, in our personal space and who we are, and also for His kingdom to come into the world so that the world can connect to God and who He is, and even for that day of Christ's return that is coming, when He one day will come again. And then we pray for God's will. Your will be done, His purposes over our preferences. And you may be about to tell Him what you want, what you think you need, and all those things, but before we even do that, we want to acknowledge that we trust Him enough to surrender our will to His purpose for our life. It's important to be reminded of these four components, because friends, they're the foundation of our prayer that now becomes the Lord's Prayer that we rest all the other components of the Lord's Prayer upon. And we're going to focus on God first. Then we begin, after that, to pray for the things that involve us. And that's an important order to our prayer life. But by not simply jumping straight to our requests of our life, which we often do in our prayer, by not just jumping straight to that, we're acknowledging our trust and our allegiance to God as the one who's worthy to place our trust in. And simply put, I'm going to acknowledge the greatness of God before I petition God, before I get in the request line, if you can think of it that way. After using these four components as a model for our praying, it's at this point in the Lord's Prayer that it begins to shift now, and we begin to shift in our prayer, begin to shift to our needs and to the needs of others. Now I understand that there are some here today that might be saying, well, finally, I've got so many things going on in my life right now, so many things that need God's attention. I'm glad that we're finally moving to this part of asking because I've been praying and I'm ready to see some results, right? And I know what, I sure understand the heart of that. And thankfully, God wants us to ask. And it leads us to this fifth component of the Lord's model for prayer found in Matthew 6:11, where Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is telling us to pray for God's daily provision in our lives. God wants to meet our needs, and that's what we're going to be focusing on this morning. There are three factors involved in this praying for daily bread. Before we dissect the fifth component a bit, let's look at the first factor that it's kind of built upon. Friends, it comes directly after Jesus tells us to pray for His will. Directly after that, as a very important piece that we mentioned last week, is that before we give our preferences to God, before we ask Him of anything, we first express our heart to Him in order that we want to be in His will. We're asking that first. Before I say, this is what I think I need, this is what I think I want, I need to say, regardless of what I say I want, God, first, I want you, and I want your will in my life. And that's what we're starting with. But then that brings us to the first factor. The first factor of asking God is the trust factor. I don't know if we have a screen back. We don't. Do we have notes back? So this is your first note if you're using the outline, the trust factor. There we go. If I'm going to ask God for the provisions in my life, friends, if I'm going to do that, I first need to trust him as a loving parent who will only give me what is best for me. Not necessarily what I ask for, but what is best for me, even if what's best is different from my own preference. Now, I get that you may not be there in your walk with Jesus. I completely get that. Maybe you've asked Jesus into your heart. You believe him. He's forgiven your sins, all those things. But perhaps you're struggling with even that. You're struggling to actually give your life to him. Maybe that's true of you, but maybe you've believed in him and all those things, but maybe you've still not learned to trust God. And I get that. For some of us, our lives have been conditioned by untrustworthy others in our lives. And so letting go of the skepticism of being let down, that can be really hard. Some of you don't trust God. That's the issue. You don't trust him. And so to hear that you must trust him first may lead you to believe, well, then I guess I can't ask God for anything because I'm really struggling with trusting God. First, I want you to know this. God is absolutely trustworthy. He really is. He's absolutely trustworthy. He's not like those who've let you down in your life. He's not. He's not like that, and you may even feel let down by God because you asked for something in the past and things didn't turn out as you desired or as you hoped that they would or that you thought that they would. But listen to me, not getting things as you think they should be doesn't mean that God's untrustworthy. It just means that God knows things that you don't know. God has a perspective that you don't have. His perspective is way larger than ours, and so trusting him means that even when things don't make sense to me, we don't understand why God did or didn't do something, I'm going to trust him anyway. I'm going to trust him anyway. Second, if you struggle trusting God, let me say to you that God isn't conditional. That's the beautiful thing about him and his love for us. He's not conditional. He wants you to trust him. And he honors your trust, but that don't stop asking him for your provision because you're still struggling with that. Because you're struggling to trust him. Remember that Jesus said that the faith the size of a mustard seed can move a mountain. Have you seen a mustard seed? They're very, very small. Do you know what that teaches me? Here's what that teaches me. It teaches me that not only does God not give us a trust requirement, but most of us must not have quite as much faith and trust as we think we do because there's a whole lot of mountains that I don't see being moved. When's the last time you saw a mountain moved? Do we have that much faith? The truth is that God's already working in your life every day, whether you recognize it or whether you don't recognize it. It doesn't change what he's doing. He answers a lot of your prayers before you even ask them. You breathe another day. You have another meal on your plate. You get back and forth to work safely. You have people who love you, etc., etc., etc. God already is working in your life, but he still wants you to ask him. He's still working to build. What he's doing is working to build a heart of trust within you because he is trustworthy. And the trust factor is very, very important. A little later in the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus teaches the Lord's Prayer, he speaks more detailed about asking. And he first says this in Matthew 7:7-8. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to the one who knocks it will be opened. Jesus is detailing three aspects of asking here. First, he says to ask. He's speaking there of a humble consciousness of our need, to be humbly conscious of our need before him and to ask him, like a child coming to a parent with a need. We come and ask God. God wants us to ask. Jesus tells us to ask. Second, he tells us to seek. He's saying that we have a responsibility in our prayer life as well to actively pursue God and his will. As you're seeking in prayer, seek the scripture. Seek to understand. Seek to hear God's word and his will for you in your life. And then third, he says, to knock. Jesus is speaking of a persevering, a knock, 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 persevering in our asking. Think of it like someone knocking on the door, knock, 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 trying to get somebody to answer, somebody to respond. We keep bringing requests, even the same request, before God. God, God, I'm here again. I'm here again, and I'm still praying for that friend of mine who doesn't yet know you. Oh, God, please help them to come to know you. Bring them to a place where they surrender to you. I'm still praying for my mother who's sick and just growing sicker. I'm still praying for that job that I desperately need. Friends, humbly come before God. Pursue God's will and persevere in the asking. That's continuing the conversation with God. Persevering is continuing the conversation. You don't just ask once and go away. You want to continue to be in conversation with God about what your needs are. This happens with my kids all the time. When they maybe ask me for something that they think they need or that they want, and I don't always clearly say yes to them right away, and you know what, I also don't always say clearly no to them either. Why don't I always give a clear answer? Because sometimes there needs to be more of a conversation in what they're asking about before I just give them an answer. There needs to be more conversation involved in that. I need more time to process. I need to know their heart and what they're asking about and what their true desire really is. And I need to know if it matches a will and a purpose that's good and best for them before I can give them an answer. And so they keep knocking and knocking, asking me the same thing sometimes over and over, maybe in different ways, maybe in different tones, but they keep knocking until I finally give them a firm yes, a firm no, or a ask me again later, right? Of course, God doesn't need to process anything because God already knows everything. But often the waiting is because we need to be better understand our own hearts in that knocking and what we're asking for. And in that waiting time, we're comprehending our hearts better. We need to continue the conversation with him. Jesus goes on to say in Matthew 7, 9 through 11, or which one of you, if his son asks for bread, gives him a stone, or if he asks for a fish, gives him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Now Luke is telling this same account with Jesus, and he adds another metaphor that Jesus that included in that conversation that Matthew didn't. In Luke chapter 11, verse 12, he adds this metaphor as well. Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. Now, all of those in first reading are pretty peculiar, aren't they? They're just a little bit odd. They're a little bit strange. What in the world is Jesus talking about here? A stone for bread, a snake for fish, a scorpion for an egg. But let's put on our Jesus time period thinking caps for a moment. Can we do that? Let's go back a couple thousand years and see what he's trying to share with his original audience in Galilee near the Sea of Galilee. And let's look at this again. You see, Jesus chooses his examples very carefully when he does parables and metaphors. And in this case, he did the same thing. And all of these metaphors, the son is asking his father for provision, isn't he? He's asking for something to eat. He's asking for food, something to eat, bread, fish, and egg. But in all of them, Jesus says, what if instead of meeting that provision, the son's father gives them something nasty, a stone, a snake, or a scorpion? Now let's use our Jesus period thinking caps for a moment, friends. Believe it or not, Jesus' audience would have easily understood Jesus' correlation in each of these metaphors. In their area, there were these little round limestones on the seashore that were the exact size and shape and color of little loaves of bread. I mean, who knows? Jesus may have had one of those stones in hand when he said, who would give him a stone instead? If a father gave one of these stones to a son who was hungry and was asking for bread, he'd simply be mocking him. When Jesus talked about the father giving his son a snake, he was quite possibly talking about an eel. they would have considered an eel more of a serpent than a fish. The Jewish food law said you couldn't eat. They couldn't be eaten. It was considered unclean because it didn't have fins and scales. Now, that might sound crazy to you and me because it's not our culture, but it was their culture. It was their belief. It was their religious rule. So again, Jesus is saying if a father did this, it again would be like mocking the request, right? When Jesus talked about the father offering a scorpion instead of an egg, it would have also probably made sense to them. There was a pale kind of scorpion who, when it rests its claws and its tails, folds in and looks a lot like, guess what? An egg. Like an egg. Jesus is saying, would a father mock his son by giving him a stone or a fish that they can't eat, or a scorpion that they can't eat that could harm them or kill him, when the son is simply hungry? You see, no reasonably, just reasonably responsible parent. We're not even talking about a good parent right now. No reasonably responsible parent would do that, right? If a child asks for a legitimate provision, the parent's going to meet that child's need. Let me say that again. If a child asks for a legitimate provision, any reasonably good parent is going to meet that child's need. Then Jesus makes this comparison. He says, if a parent who's obviously flawed with sin, who's obviously not perfect at all, who obviously makes all kinds of mistakes, if that parent is going to provide good things for his or her child, just think about how a perfect loving father, a perfect loving God is going to provide when you ask him. It's going to provide when you ask him. Friends, we begin our asking with the trust factor. God's not going to mock us in our asking. He's not going to trick us by giving us something that looks like it's what we need, that looks like it's good for us, but doesn't meet our needs and could potentially harm us. Out of his sheer goodness and love, he's going to meet all of our needs. That doesn't mean he's going to meet all of our greeds, all of the things that we think we want, but he's going to meet our needs if we ask and we seek and we persevere, we keep knocking. And as we move back to the component now of the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, there are two other factors that we need to consider. So the second factor is this, the daily factor. The daily factor. It's important for us to notice the fact that Jesus says, give us this day our, what? Daily bread, right? Give us this day our daily bread. Interestingly, the word daily is the only adjective. It's the only descriptive word in this whole Lord's Prayer. I mean, obviously Jesus is adding this detail for a reason, right? He's telling us that we need to pray for today's essentials, today's essentials. He emphasizes this just a little bit further on in the Sermon on the Mount, and we go to Matthew 6, 31 through 34, where he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or what shall I wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. We only need to focus on prayer requests for today's needs. For today's needs. If we're trusting God's will, trusting God for his will, then we don't need to worry about what's going to happen down the road someday. Some of us, we think we're praying about what's down the road. All we're really doing is worrying about what's down the road. We can't stop thinking about what's down the road. That's not scriptural. That's being anxious. He just said, be anxious about nothing. We need to focus in on what's going on today. If we're trusting God for his will, then we don't have to worry about what's going to happen down the road. We simply need to give him today and to trust him that he's got tomorrow already covered. I don't need to know what I'm going to need to handle tomorrow's needs, issues, until tomorrow comes. But I do need to know how to get through today, right? Does that make sense? Once again, Jesus' audience at the Sermon on the Mount, they would have probably quickly connected Jesus' choice of words and metaphor of daily bread. Their minds could have quickly gone back to the stories of their ancestors wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. And when they grew hungry, they had to daily depend on God for manna, bread from heaven. God would bring bread from heaven to feed them every day. You can read about this account in Exodus chapter 16. God provided manna daily for the Israelites. They weren't allowed to keep extra for the next day. If they did, you know what would happen? It would go bad and it would be full of maggots. Sounds appetizing, right? So you couldn't save it even if you wanted to save it. But if they simply trusted God daily, you know what? There was always bread for today. Always bread for today, and then the same for the next day, and the same for the day after that, and the same for the day after that. God was providing their daily need. Through this daily provision, God was teaching the Israelites. He was teaching them, you know what? He was teaching them that they could trust him enough to follow him. If you have to rely on God to drop your food in front of you for that day, you're going to be taking that day with him, and then the next day with him, and then the next day with him, because you're beginning to trust that he's actually going to provide for you. They didn't have to worry, because every single day, God provided just what they needed. And that's such an important lesson for us to learn. And Jesus is teaching us the same thing in the Lord's Prayer. He's saying, ask about today. Trust me for your daily needs, and you don't have to worry about any other needs as you go down the road. Trust me for today. Now, does that mean that we're never supposed to pray about any future events? No, it doesn't mean that. It's appropriate to pray for some future events. It's not appropriate to be anxious and worried about them. But it's appropriate to pray for future events, but there's a big difference between praying about something in the future and worrying and being anxious about the future, right? Big difference. When we truly trust God in our daily things, it wipes away your need to worry. When he's providing your manna each day and you're realizing he's providing that, you realize, I don't have to worry about down the road, because he's going to provide on that day too. If we know he's taking care of us today, then guess what? We also know that when tomorrow becomes today, he's going to take care of that also. So I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm going to focus my prayers on depending on God today, yet there are still times that I'm going to be asking God to handle things that are coming in the future. Can you pray about your retirement? Sure. Can you pray about your next job? Sure. Are you going to focus on that all the time and worry about that? No. Focus on today. Caroline and I pray for our kids' future. We've prayed for whoever their spouse is going to be for a long time now. But do you know what? When we've prayed for their spouses, and I'll tell you right up front, Caroline is way better at this than I have been, but we have both done it. And when we pray for our spouses, we also pray for their spouses as they're growing up, right? As they're growing up. We don't know who their spouse is going to be. We don't know what kind of family they're going to be or home they're going to come from. But we pray that God already is working in their lives when they're kids. As they're growing up, we pray that whoever their spouses will be, that they've been raised today, as they're being raised today, that they'll be in godly homes where they're learning to live for Jesus. We've also prayed for our kids in a daily way, because they need to develop a Christ-like character in them today so they can be the godly man and the godly women that God's calling them to be later. When God gave the Israelites manna from heaven, he was teaching them a daily dependence on him. And friends, that's what he wants from us. And that we need him today. Jesus teaches the very same thing in the Lord's Prayer when he tells us to ask for our daily bread, to daily depend on God. There's another thing that I've been trying to learn in my life when it comes to God's daily provision. You see, if God supplies my daily bread, our daily bread, then friends, that means that we don't have to hoard anything, right? We don't have to hold on to it. We don't have to stockpile things because we think that we might need them someday when there may be somebody else that can use them today. We also don't need to hold on to things that have just become junk. It's okay to throw things away. If God supplies our daily need, then he'll supply what we need later on when we need it. Not when you can't find it and thought that you had it, right? And I've been trying to learn this when it actually comes to daily bread, when it comes to food. I wasn't raised in a home with parents that made us clean the plate. I wasn't. My parents never did that. We didn't have to clean the plate before you left the table. If you didn't like something, you were allowed not to like it. That's how it was when I grew up. But somehow, Somehow I've got in my head that it's wasteful not to finish what I have on my plate. So I've got that in my head. Well, listen, which is a greater sin? Throwing food away that I don't eat, or being a glutton and continuing to eat when I'm full? Which is worse? Well, what about all the starving kids in third world countries, you may ask? Well, you know what? The uneaten food on my plate can't help them now. That's just a guilt game, and God doesn't play a guilt game with us. The devil plays the guilt game with us. If I want to help a starving kid in a third world country, I need to think about that way before that food's on my plate. According to God's instructions to the Israelites and their manna from heaven, throwing food away wasn't a sin at all. It's what they were supposed to do with what was left. It wasn't a sin at all. The sin was in hoarding it, trying to store it up, trying to keep it, and not trusting him for the next day, for the daily bread. And I'm learning, be it ever so slowly, that it's a sin to eat more than being full, but it's right and good to throw things away when they're left over if I am full. That's not to say that we can't eat to our fill. God provided the Israelites with bread from heaven. He told them to eat to their fill. They just weren't supposed to save it because he wanted them to trust him. You don't need to undereat. You don't have to eat like a bird. You can eat until you're pleasantly full, but don't feel guilty over what you can't or shouldn't finish. It's okay to throw it away. There's another thing that Jesus is teaching us when he tells us to pray for this daily need that's very important. If we're praying for daily bread, you know what that means? That means that we're establishing a daily habit of prayer. That's what he wants. He wants to hear from you daily. He wants you to hear from him daily. He wants you to talk to him every day. This establishes a daily habit of prayer. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? It teaches me to daily be with the Father who's in heaven, to talk to him and to pray and to seek his provision. We should begin every day by asking God to meet our daily provision for our lives ahead of the day. Far too often, our lives are so busy that we just rush right out into the day without talking to God at all, without asking for his provision at all. Too often, we worry so much about tomorrow that we don't even give him today. Jesus is teaching us a daily habit of prayer. You know, in today's economy, this daily factor of prayer, it is so vital, isn't it? If a person sees their retirement dwindling to pennies, or the job that you have today is looking like it might not be there tomorrow or next week or next month, or if you've sent out resumes to 50 different employers and you've not heard back from anybody today, but you're hoping something will open up tomorrow, you're going to easily get enveloped by the worry of tomorrow. Well, friends, today's got enough anxiety and worry all by itself. Focus your prayers on daily manna. God, I'm trusting you for today, asking you for daily bread, and letting go of my worry about tomorrow. There's one more factor that we need to look at in this component of the Lord's Prayer, and it's this one that we need to know. It's this, the us and our factor. The us and our factor. Listen to me as I say this part of the Lord's Prayer again to you. Praying it again. Here it is. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, are you ready? Listen to me. Give me today my daily bread. Did I get that right? No, what I do wrong. I got that wrong, didn't I? It's not give me today my daily bread. It's give us today our daily bread. It's important for us to realize that asking from God isn't just about me. Jesus teaches us to pray for us and for our, not for me and my. Give us this day our daily bread. That's one of the real blessings of our Wednesday morning prayer team. Every Wednesday at 8 a.m., the online prayer team, where the prayer requests get shared through emails for people to pray, and the Monday evening prayer for the nation team that meets Mondays evenings at 6:30. We don't sit in those times or get those requests in the emails and just pray for ourselves. We use those to pray for others. We pray for our church. We pray for those we know who are facing different health concerns or life concerns. We pray for them. We pray for God's provision for our church, which is the people. And we pray beyond our church for the community, for the nation, for the world. We get to pray, friends. We get to pray for daily needs of our church family. And that is a great, great privilege. Give us this day our daily bread. Some of you are in life groups where you take time to pray for the daily needs of each other in your group. And all of these things are a great privilege. And when we're praying them, we're praying, give us this day our daily bread. And even in our own prayers, we don't just pray for ourselves, right? When you're praying, that's not what you do. We have the privilege to pray on a daily basis for the basic needs of those in our own community and our own world. You know, the problem in our world isn't that there's not enough resources to go around. That's not the problem at all. There's plenty. There's plenty and some to spare. The problem is the distribution of the plenty, isn't it? We can be, here's the thing, not only do we pray for daily bread, we can be a part of the answer of the daily bread. We can be a part of the answer to God's prayer. I've not heard any recent stories of God dropping manna from heaven. That's not happening today, but God does use willing people who love him, like you and me, to answer the prayers of others for their daily bread. We get to be an answer to providing daily bread in a literal sense through the backpack ministry, where we literally provide food for kids who don't have enough food to eat over the weekend at home. And we get to do that, and we have huge support for that ministry. That's a budget line that's always really strong because it's set aside just for that, and people give money to it. So it's always there to help make that happen. And we have great people support, people who come every Thursday night to pack those backpacks and to get them sent out. It is a huge blessing of being providing an answer to the prayer for daily provision for others. Thanks to another service group, we also have this blessing box that sits out in the front of our driveway. Of the church, and I see people stop there and put food in, and I see people stop there and take food out. It's just a simple way for people, when they have a daily need, we're answering their prayer to God for food. As they pull in, they can take the food, all that they want out of there that they need, and others are going to come along and be a part of the answer and replace it. I know that we also have some beautiful people in our church who bring meals to others when they're having health issues or family grief of some kind. I think one of the God's favorite ways to provide for the daily needs of others is by using the church, using his people to answer that prayer. I know that my family has been so blessed many times by people of the church being the answer to our prayers and helping to meet needs we've had. So we get to not only pray for the daily needs of others, but we also get to be a part of answering their prayers for their daily needs. Praying for our daily bread is much more than giving God a to-do list. I've heard people compare praying to God like a Santa Claus list, and you know what? That's just appalling. That is appalling. What we learned from Jesus in the Lord's Prayer is that we're humbly conscious of our daily needs, and we bring them to him, pursuing his will, and when we knock and persevere, he's ready to open the door and to meet our needs. Friends, I believe that there are many needs among us right now, right here in this room, in our own church body, that God is ready to meet. We're the church. We are the body of Christ. Even those at home that are watching that can't be here, you're part of the body of Christ. We're the church, and we're supposed to pray for one another. And so we're going to close differently today. Instead of me just saying a prayer over us, we're going to close in a different kind of prayer time. And here's what I want to ask you to do, okay? I'm going to give you some instructions first. I want you to in a moment, to turn to two or three others in the room. So having like groups of three or four, take your message outline with you. If you've not used it for the message, take it anyway. Take your bulletin with you. Turn to groups. You can move wherever you want in the room. You can move chairs if you want to. We can straighten chairs, no big deal. But turn so you're with three or four others. Go ahead and do that for me now, if you would, and then I'll give you the next part of the instruction. If this just makes you crazy, crazy uncomfortable, and you want to sit alone, okay, you can do that, but pray for everybody else as we do that, if that's your choice. Go ahead, turn to some others. You can stand if that's easier to form a circle. You can sit next to one another, but find some others that you're going to pray with. I encourage everybody to be a part of it. Now, here's the next thing that you're going to do. Once you're with some others, I want you to share a prayer concern, not a list. Each person share a prayer concern that you have right now for a daily need. A prayer concern. And then I want you to take your bulletin outline, and there's room on the bottom. Others in your group, write down those prayer concerns as they're shared. Give your name. Don't assume that everybody knows who you are. Give your name first, and then write down as they share the prayer concerns as they're shared so that you can have those as a prayer list. And listen to me. Here's what I encourage you to do. I encourage you not to just pass because you can't think of a prayer need. If you honestly can't think of something, here's something I'll give you, one that any of us could have. It's this: Jesus, help me to grow closer to you and to know your love more. So don't give a pass. Take that one from me if you don't have one. Jesus, help me to grow closer to you and know your love more. That can be your request. But give something to the group, then they're going to write that down. After you have this, you're going to have a list for your weekly prayer. And you're going to take this home with you, and you're going to commit to pray for those others who've been surrounded with you today. And in your daily prayer, lift up these prayer concerns for your brothers and sisters in Christ here. And then when we're done, I want to close this by leading us in the Lord's Prayer together. And we'll close with a song. But take a few minutes to do this. Oh, and one other thing. After your list is completed, I want you just in a group, if you would just pray together. It might be one person in your group who'll do that for everyone. Everybody might take a short line and pray. If nobody's comfortable, okay, that's cool. Pray silently. But say a prayer over what was just shared in your group, and then we'll close together. So take some time to do that. If you're at home, do that with who you're with at home, and do it now. See if you can move to a time of somebody saying a prayer in your group if you haven't done that already. I'm going to ask the praise team to go ahead and make their way up front, if they would. I invite you to continue. If you're not done, you're welcome to do that. You're also welcome to linger afterwards if you need to do that. I want to tell you, the church I grew up in, we said the Lord's Prayer every week. You've heard me say that before. It was just the routine every week. But I can tell you, we would have never done something like this. We would have never stopped and prayed together. We would have ripped right through that prayer like we did every week and talked about daily bread and not really knowing what it meant, and nobody would have stopped and prayed for anybody else. The revivals that are happening in some colleges, one of the characteristics of them, and it's before I had this plan, before I even realized that, one of the connections is groups of students stopping and praying together. There were little prayer groups all over the room in the chapel at Asbury, with these students just stopping and confessing and praying together. Friends, when the church takes serious our daily bread, asking for our daily bread and praying for one another in that, the church will seriously see God move. Let's close, and we're going to close in a great song that's going to fit really well. But before we do that, let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. And like I've been saying to you, as we're learning the different parts of it, try to hear that meaning as we're praying through. Let's join together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Are you desperate for the presence of God? For the will of God in your life? I had a thought as we were singing, if you're not desperate for it, then you will be lost without it. If you're not desperate for him, you'll be lost without him. Our daily breath is to walk in the will of the Father, to have the Spirit so alive in us that we know our daily bread's being taken care of. Our worries aren't about tomorrow. Our concerns are about being Jesus and living Jesus and others knowing Jesus all around us today. Bless you all. See you next week.